Hi there, and welcome to the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. We're Alana, Kyle, and Tira, friends who have a heart for intimacy and long to uncover God's truth and design for sexual freedom within marriage. Welcome here.
Welcome back to another episode of the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. Today, it is just Tira and I. You got the KS girls.
Woohoo!
So, it's going to be a good one. But before we dive into it, I'm going to read a review that we got from Wifey Emma 20. The title is Great Content. She gives 5 stars and said, this podcast provides great content on intimacy within marriage. Thank you for your encouragement and prayers over the lives of your listeners.
Thanks, Emma. Awesome.
It's funny too. I sometimes wonder, I'm like, do people listen to the prayers at the end? Like, do they appreciate them? So it's just nice to have some feedback from her to be like, it's okay. Yeah, keep doing this.
Yeah. Well, it's good.
All right. So the verse for this, this episode is, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Not John 3:16.
No, not John. Okay, guys, I got it from the internet and just pasted the, let's go find out where it is.
This is Psalms 139.
Yeah. Uh, 139:14. There we go.
So Psalms 139:14. Okay.
Yes. All right.
So this is Tira's wheelhouse today. Spoiler. She is the one who has this beautiful heart for women's cycles and all the different things that those cycles entail. Mm-hmm. And I am just excited to learn. I feel like I just know so little about my body, which is so awful. And even like, if you listen to our anatomy episode, like Kyle just like takes the reins. He's talking about all these things. And I'm like, what? Like, really? That's so cool. Like, I'm so naive. I'm just like, let my body do its thing and just blissfully unaware go throughout life.
Well, I don't think you're alone in that. Like, I think a lot of women just, you know, yeah, we get a period, whoopee, you know, and that's about all that we know. We don't know
right? All
the full intricacies that go into it and what happens during each part of our cycle. Like, mm-hmm. The bleeding is only a small portion of what our bodies do. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm super excited to talk about it. Like Alana said, this is definitely like where my passions are. Mm-hmm. And if you are one of my friends who lives nearby me, you will have heard this episode over and over again, because I just want to make sure that everybody knows all of this stuff. So, for those of you that don't know, I am just finishing up my fertility support practitioner program. So it's been really fun to actually get like officially trained in this and to learn the extras that go along with it. So just this is totally my wheelhouse. I love everything. Not just like fertility for trying to get pregnant, but just like our bodies, our whole female reproductive system. Like, it is amazing. It actually reminds me, I took an AP bio class when I was in grade 12, and it was led by a physician. And he said like his number one reason for not believing in evolution was the female cycle. And like, we had to write essays about it. And he's like, God just made women so amazing, and like what our bodies do is just so fascinating. It can't just be like a big bang thing. So that has kind of always stuck with me. Like, yeah, we are in an amazing body. Not that men aren't amazing too. They are. They're just not as intricate.
They're okay.
What I wanted to start out with, like, and I almost like that that you, Alana, don't have all the knowledge that I do, because sometimes I can just assume that people know this and they don't. Mm. So stop me whenever there's a part where you're like, what? That doesn't make sense.
Okay.
So I'm going to try, explaining this kind of in easy language and give you pointers that are easy to remember. So first off, we have 2 phases of our cycle. Okay. So we have the first section of our a cycle, which is called our follicular phase. So this is from like the day you start your period till when you ovulate. Okay. So that's your first first time. So that's okay. And I'm going to be super general and say like the first 2 weeks. Okay. I know that's not, I'm not saying that every woman has a 28 day cycle. Hate that. It varies. And, but just generally speaking, I'll probably speak about it within the regular term. So that's your follicular phase, the first one. And then the next 2 weeks, so the day of ovulation to the next period, is called your luteal phase. So different things happen during each of these phases. So during the first phase, okay, so that's your follicular phase. This is where, this is the best part to be a woman, in my opinion. Okay, so in regards to our hormones, our estrogen levels rise. Okay, so this, why is that important? It's important because it increases your sex drive. It does that because when your estrogen levels start going up, it can also stimulate the production of testosterone. That's a hormone we all know that increases your sex drive. So right. During like leading up to that ovulation date, usually about like 4 or 5 days before you ovulate, that rise of testosterone can make you feel more confident and more able to do things, get things accomplished. You'll feel more confident. You'll look better. And there's actually studies like everything changes about us. Like your glow will change a little bit. Your smell will change. You actually like give off pheromones during this time. It's really sweet.
Crazy.
Because we have our fertility journey, like trying to conceive with our first, my husband Ken was really involved in a lot of that. And so we always joke, like he knows more about the female system than most females. So he'll come up to me. He goes, "Oh, you're about to ovulate, aren't you?" He goes, "You just smell different." Like he knows, like he's so in tune with my body, like almost, I would say almost more than I am.
He would probably know way more than me.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. He will. So it is kind of fun. Like you can start doing this, like even with your husband, like just kind of let him know where you're at in your cycle, if you know, and I'll kind of go over some things that you can kind of do to see about where you are in your cycle. But it's kind of fun to say like, "Hey, during this time, just let me know if you notice anything different about me. Do I smell different? Do I look different to you? Are you more attracted to me?" Most likely the answer is yes. He probably just doesn't know it, just thinks that his sex drive is higher at that point. But it's not. It's actually like your body is trying to tell others, in particular males, that you are ready to mate and have a baby. So it just, it makes you look attractive to gain a mate for that time. So women, the way that you can, I don't want to say like use this to your advantage, but I am going to say that use it to your advantage. Okay. So things that you can do for this, like if you're wanting to ask your boss for a raise, that's going to be the best time because you're going to feel more confident. You're going to project that confidence to your employer. Okay. If you are wanting to start a new habit, like say you're wanting to start exercising more or changing the way you eat, all that stuff, you're going to find better results starting around then because you're just going to feel motivated to do it.
So some other things that you'll notice different. So that higher estrogen that I talked about can also increase the blood flow to your genitals. Okay. So that will make them more sensitive, you know, can heighten pleasure because of that. The other thing is internally things change as well. So the closer you get to ovulation, your body is trying to say, "Hey, we're fertile. Let's get pregnant." So it opens up your body basically to be more receptive of that. So what's going to happen is like internally. So if you're thinking of like our anatomy episode, going into your like, so into your vagina and then up into your cervix changes. So it becomes soft. It actually, I'm using my hands to like describe it, but you can't see my hands. So your cervix actually goes up higher in so that when your husband comes in, it's more easy to get in. It's easier. There's less distance for the sperm to travel into your uterus. Okay. It also becomes more open. So there could be times like that you'll notice in when you're having sex that like, "Oh man, this actually feels good. Like I don't have, like, say you had even just a little bit of pain or you kind of feel tense." During this time, you'll probably notice that you don't feel those. You're just a lot more open. You'll also be more wet. So it like you'll have your body produces like a cervical mucus during that time. Like you'll sometimes notice, this is going to get maybe a little graphic for some, but when you are fertile, that cervical mucus comes out. So often, you know, like if you have a bowel movement or something, you're wiping and all of a sudden there's like a whole bunch of sticky stuff. You're like, what the heck? Right. It's the egg white. That's really important. If you're trying to get pregnant, that's like the ideal stuff to help you get pregnant because the sperm live in that and it helps like transport them into your uterus. So regardless if you're trying to get pregnant or not, though, that mucus can help with your sex life too because it automatically lubes you up.
Yeah.
And it's like your body is telling you that you are receptive to having sex. So if you're wanting to try any like new positions or you're trying to work on, you know, even just work on your desire or mindfulness, getting sex better, this is the time to start because you're mm-hmm. It's going to feel a lot better. And therefore it's going to train your brain like, oh, okay, sex is feeling good. Okay. I can look forward to the next time. So it's really good. Like it's to know that about your body, that there is a time that is actually better and more pleasurable for you to have sex. So start the new habits, start the new positions during that time. Cause you're going to have more success during that time. Another thing that I really like to point out, like, not in regards to sex, but just in terms of like to see the difference in what our body does during these two cycles is using exercise. So if you are like a high performance athlete, you might know these things. If you like in this first phase in your follicular phase, because of that heightened testosterone and stuff, you are able to do workouts that are way harder. So if you are working out, push yourself to the max during this time. Your body is going to be receptive to it. It's going to change. It's going to do the things that you are asking it to do. However, when you get to your next phase, your luteal phase, all of those hormones go down. Your estrogen goes down, your testosterone goes down, and a different hormone, progesterone, goes up. So if you did the same workout that you did in your first phase, in your second phase, your body's going to go, what are you doing? It's going to increase your cortisol, which is your stress hormone, and spike that up. And you're not going to see the results at all that you just did.
It's going to get mad at you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be tired. You are not going to get the results that you want at all. Mm-hmm. So there are different like apps and stuff that you can get that help you work out based on where you are in your cycle. But yeah, it's quite fascinating. And different things like that you can eat during different times of your cycle that help with different things. Like the list goes on about how you can like, I was going to say monetize your cycle, you know, like emotionally, like
utilize it,
mentally utilize. Yeah. So that's kind of like an easy way to kind of see the difference of what our body does in our different phases. So now that I've talked about the good phase, let's talk about the phase that comes after. So
ruh-roh.
So one thing that's really interesting, remember how I talked about how your cervix position changes, how you'll be more open and everything. The moment you ovulate, those things shut down. So immediately your cervix moves back down. It becomes firm and hard. And by the way, if you're like super curious about this, you can actually feel it yourself. So if you wash your finger, put it in, your cervix will feel like in the, like leading up to ovulation where when it's soft and good, it'll feel like the tip of your lip, you know, like how kind of mushy and soft it is. That's what it'll feel like. Okay. After you ovulate, it'll feel like the tip of your nose. So it'll feel like really hard.
That's
me and Alana both touching our lips.
Oh yeah, sorry, yeah, we're touching our faces here.
Yeah, so if you're like wanting to get really familiar with your body, you can even do this. You may have heard, you know, like taking your temperature. That's a good way to see when you ovulate because that after you ovulate, that progesterone that I talked about, that kind of slow things everything down, that will elevate your temperature. So that's why people take their temperature, is to see which phase, when that phase changes into the second phase.
So it's the progesterone that causes your temperature to spike.
Yes. Yeah.
When you ovulate.
Yes. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. So although progesterone, like, it gives us all the crappy things, like the fatigue, the mood swings, the bloating, like all the PMS kind of symptoms that you think about. In the general sense, if you have lots, there's other stuff that can be issues or whatnot, but progesterone is good for certain things. the main thing that's good for is keeping a baby alive. So you have a fertilized egg in there. The progesterone is what keeps that alive and helps sustain it in your uterine lining. So it's also really good for your bone development and all this stuff. So it is good to still have progesterone. It just, you know, doesn't feel awesome. Anyway, if you didn't want to take your temperatures, and you were just kind of curious to see like when your phases change, you could feel your cervix to see. And some women, it's some women find this really easy, and some women it's like, oh, it just changes throughout the day and I don't know, I can't tell. So don't feel discouraged if feeling it is not, if you don't notice it. You'll also, that wetness that I talked about too, it will dry up immediately. So that's another change. So those are like specific changes that you can look out for, even regardless if you're taking your temperature or whatnot.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is there an ideal time of the day to be checking your cervix? Does it matter? Do you have to be consistent at the time?
You don't have to be consistent.
Just kind of whenever in a day.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably easiest to do it the same time every day, like whichever time you choose, probably stick to that so that you know that's kind of what's normal. I would say probably the easiest is in the morning when you go to the bathroom after waking up. That's kind of simple. Yeah. Good question.
Nice. Okay.
Okay. So basically, I mean, so during your luteal phase, so that's that second phase, this is going to be the time that it's going to be hardest to get in the mood. Okay. So if you know this, this is also really good knowledge for your husbands too. Like this is a time where you're going to need probably a lot more warm up to want to be intimate. It's going to take extra work. And if you know that about your body, it's a lot easier to go like, okay, I know physiologically this is what's happening in my body, instead of going like, oh, right, what happened? I was feeling so good a couple days ago. Why did sex feel awesome then? And now it just feels like, no way. I don't want it right now. Another thing too, is that because your cervix is now lower, it's firmer and harder, sex doesn't necessarily feel as good. Certain positions aren't going to feel as good. So just knowing that kind of thing, like, okay, let's avoid doing this position during this time. Let's go back to our normal.
So probably deeper ones aren't as ideal.
No, probably not. Yeah. I mean, again, every woman is going to be different. So some might not even notice it. Some might. I think the main reason I want to bring it up is just so that like the more knowledge you have about your body, I think the easier it is to get over those mind setbacks, you know, and just feeling crappy about yourself that, oh man, I was so good last week and now I'm back to feeling crappy. Like, oh, it's never going to get better. You know, it just creates that cycle of like, what's wrong with me? Whereas if we just know how our bodies work and we know, okay, this is going to be a 2 weeks till I get my period and then things are going to reset and we can do something fun.
Right.
And like you can even, you know, plan your vacations for when you're going to be on your feeling good times, you know, like stuff like that, where you can just like take advantage of the knowledge that you have of your cycle. One thing to keep in mind though, that if you are on any hormonal birth control, this, depending on what type you're on, this isn't going to apply to you. So any like, if you're on say an IUD, like the Mirena, or you're on the mini pill, so usually the one that's given while you're breastfeeding, both of those don't contain an estrogen. So they're only progesterone, which means that you're gonna still ovulate. It may not be as consistent as before. Some cycles you might not. So it's gonna be a little bit harder to tell. If you are on any other type of hormonal birth control, so all the other ones have estrogen in them, you're not gonna ovulate at all. So basically all this stuff that I talked about isn't really gonna be noticeable for you. Because those hormones actually basically shut down your whole reproductive cycle for that. It doesn't, like, you won't release an egg, which means that that progesterone level won't go up, which means that you're not going to see the signs, like your temperature wouldn't rise. The period that you get isn't actually a period. It's called a breakthrough bleed. So it's just a bit of estrogen that made your lining go a little bit. And after a certain point, the lining goes, oh yeah, I can't contain it anymore. And it just sloughs off. Hmm. So, yeah. So hormonal stuff, like, it's like, I'm a fan of either, like whatever works for you. It's just, you won't have the benefits of having your period, of having like a natural cycle, because you won't get these extra boosts of things, but you can control when your period is, you can do other things. So there's like pros and cons to both of them. Right. Mm-hmm. The being on the pill can definitely affect your libido. It can affect your mood, that sort of thing. So sometimes you'll just go on it because the doctor has put you on it. You've been on it for years. You know, you were on it for your skin, you were to regulate your period, whatnot. So you may not even notice that you have a lack of libido because of the pill or because of a hormone.
Well, yeah, that's kind of, I think, my story. Like before we were getting married, that was just kind of what was presented to me. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, what are you guys going to do to protect? And it's like, he's like, here's try this pill, whatever. And so I did. And so then obviously then it's leading, it was like a couple months before my wedding. Mm-hmm. So then I would know when my period would be and whatever.
Yeah.
And so I think that's often the case for newlyweds. It's like, oh, right, I should get on this on something. And then they do, and they don't realize that that is why, you know, when they get married, they're like, wait, why am I not as aroused as I was when we were dating and stuff?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, it's because I'm on the pill now, and that's tanked my libido.
Yeah.
And so I definitely was like, oh my gosh, like I would definitely have said I was like a super low drive during that time when I was on the pill.
Yeah.
And then it's interesting how when I went off the pill, you know, when I'm pregnant and whatever, and then it was like after I had Theo, then I was like, and then our sex life had like gone way better after that because then I wasn't on it anymore. Yeah. And I actually had a drive and a desire for sex that I didn't have for years.
Yeah. I think that's so common. Like, and especially in, you know, in Christian marriages, you know, like, where we wait and you get on the pill. Mm-hmm. It was the exact same for me. It was like a couple months before, you know, cause you want to make sure you don't have too many side effects and you want to make sure your body can tolerate it. And so I went on it as well. And I would say I didn't notice too much. I mean, I had noticed my mood was a little bit like iffy. I got angry, which is like not something that I normally do. And then it ended up, long story short, found out that I have a condition that makes me more prone to blood clots, which estrogen does. So any type of birth control that has estrogen in it was a risk to me. So then I went off of it. And then that's when it was like, whoa, okay, these are the symptoms I had. But you didn't really notice it because it's not like you take the pill one day and all of a sudden, boom, you feel awful. It's not. No. It's a slow, your body's getting used to it. It just like progressively gets on. And when you're first getting married, everything is changing. So you don't know what's normal and what isn't normal. And
then you're just left confused and feeling broken. And you're like, how is this? Exactly. How was I wanted this so bad before and we couldn't have it. And now we can. And somehow I don't want it. Like, it's confusing.
Yeah. So for any, like saying the knowledge that I just shared with you earlier, if you are wanting to, you know, go off of your hormonal birth control, you can do it through just monitoring what I just said. So, you know, you would get used to noticing when you're during that, like what we call a fertile window. So you'll notice your cervical mucus. You'll notice when things are feeling open. By the time your temperature rises, it's too late, right? Because you will have already ovulated. Sperm can actually live inside of you for 5 days. So any 5 days up to ovulation is like the getting pregnant zone. So if you're doing things naturally, like you don't have to be scared of like, oh my goodness, I can get pregnant anytime. You just pick see what your window is and do a barrier method for that time. You know, put a few days on both sides just in case. That's if you're regular. If you're not regular, it makes it a little harder. But it's still definitely doable. It's just, you might want some more education on how your body is and like, yeah, an awesome book if you want like more details, if you're nerdy like me and like to know more of this stuff. We have it. We'll link it in the show notes. I know it's in our Amazon store, but Taking Charge of Your Fertility is a great one. She just goes over every single detail and all of the extra things that can come with it. Like if you have endometriosis or PCOS or, you know, she goes through all of the fertility issues and how to work with that. And so I would recommend that if you want to know more. You can also contact me because I know all of it too, so I can help you out. So I just wanted to share that all with you today so that you know more about your body, so you can take advantage of it and not feel like you're broken during certain times. You can more understand where you're at and all of those good things. So it's been fun. I've been working with Alana like as an example client for my course. So it's been fun. So Alana's been taking her temperature every day and I've been like teaching her slowly. So how has that felt for you in these last, so we've been doing it 2 months now?
Yeah. I feel like something like the temp drop would be so handy.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, if you haven't seen in our stories, Tira is like, gotten the temp drop and it's like a band that goes on your arm to check your temperature. This would be so handy when I don't have to like wake up and put the thing in my mouth to check my temperature. I'll link temp drop below if you're keen to check it out. It seems like it'd be like super handy.
It's amazing, especially if you get interrupted sleep like we do with toddlers. Like it's it's amazing.
Yeah. But no, it's been good. It's been fun. Even for like Jeff to be like, where are you? Like, you know, because to even know, like, because we've just been using condoms for such a long time, you know, between babies and whatever, that he's like, oh, do we have to use a condom today? Like, he likes to know and it's fun. So, I don't know. And I don't know if I've been like in tune enough. Like, I should have tracked maybe more things because I definitely remember a couple of days where I was definitely the initiator of sex. And I was like, I likely that would have been in that what's that phase called again?
Follicular.
And I remember in that, in those days, I was like, man, I like feel for the higher drive women or like the higher drive people in general, not even just women but even men. It was just like, let's just do it. Where can we do it? Like, I was just like, oh, yeah,
that'll definitely be sharing then.
Pumping my jets. But no, it's been very neat to track and see just when you ovulate. The one day I was like, man, I feel like this is like, I could almost like, because I'm more in tune of like knowing when things are happening. I only have one ovary.
Right.
Because I had a ovarian cyst just like last year was like huge. I looked super pregnant, but it was just this giant ovarian cyst on my one side. So now I only have one. So anyways, on that one side, I felt this like, I don't know. It wasn't like, it was something was different, like almost like crampy, but not. And I was I wonder if I'm like ovulating right now. And I probably was, I don't know. I was like looking at my cycle or whatever. I was trying to like, but you're just more aware of your body.
Oh yeah.
So I kind of like that. Being someone who is very unaware of what's going on, I'm like blissfully just like, oh, cool. My period started today. That's nice. Versus like now I'm like, I can look and I kind of have an idea. Like I'm on a trip now. I was like, okay, perfect. I got to bring some pads along or whatever. Like it was like, cool. Versus not having a bloody clue.
I think it's also fun like knowing that like one of my favorite things is like telling my clients like, okay, be aware of like your vaginal sensations. So like, do you feel open? Like, I don't know how else to describe it. It's like, well, you're sitting there, it like kind of feels, it just feels open, you know? And one of my clients we had our meeting and she was like, I felt it. I knew what you were talking about. She goes, I sat down and all of a sudden it was like, oh, that's the feeling. There it is. I know it. And it's like, you don't even know, like, you wouldn't know to look out for that. And then all of a sudden when you are, you're like, oh yeah, there it is. Yep. I feel it. Like it just, you can't describe it until you've felt it.
That's so neat. Yeah. Bodies are amazing things. Holy moly.
Yes. Like insane. And there's so much more I could get into, but this is, you know, for the beginning, this is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it fascinating how much our cycles intertwine with every aspect of our lives, including our sexual pleasure? It's like a dance, and understanding the steps can make all the difference. As I mentioned in the episode, I am a fertility support practitioner, or a fertility doula, and I'm here to help you, you females, tune into your body's rhythms. You've heard me talking about the female cycle today, but how about we make that knowledge personal? How about we dive deep into understanding your unique cycle? Whether you're dealing with irregular cycles, thinking about natural birth control methods, or trying to conceive, I'm here to offer my expertise. With my comprehensive 3-month support packages, we will explore, chart, and understand your cycle together. But it's not just about facts and figures, it's about empowering you to make informed decisions about your health and your pleasure. As a KS listener, you get a discount with me. Take $50 off any of my packages with the discount code KSFOLLOWER.
Awesome. So,
yeah.
Well, I will close us off with prayer, and then it'll be fun to do this again one day and chat more about this, because it's a fun topic.
It is.
All right. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for our bodies and the way that you've created them to be. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless all the women who are listening and the men who are learning all this stuff about their wives, things like that, Lord. I just ask that you would bless them in this journey of learning their bodies more, that you would help them to be in tune with what's going on and know how to get the help they need. Maybe if there's other things going on, Lord, I just ask that you would bless them, that their systems would work the way you intended when you knit them together in their mother's wombs. Thank you, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and just make it very known to us today. Amen.
Amen.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like our content, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, and tell your friends too. Thanks so much for journeying with us today as we tackled the hard questions and dive deep into godly intimacy. Make sure you follow us on Instagram to see more of our content and check the show notes for any links we might have mentioned in today's episode. We're so grateful to be on this journey with you, and we can't wait to see you in the next episode.